लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today we are going a little bit to Europe, but Europe living in the US. Okay, so I'm not European homie. It's a kind of European, half European homie, but I'm very happy to have her. And I asked her what's the correct pronunciation, because as you know, we are here in Europe have sometimes a bit different pronunciations of the name. So I try to pronounce her name correctly, and I say hello to Kerttu Karon. Welcome to my podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
So happy. And I have to say, if something is squeezing in the background, it's my dog Dion. He wants to talk also with us, but he has to use his toys to make some noises. So no gluggering chicken today. It's a squeezing dog today.
Yeah, love it. Love all animals, so they're welcome.
Yeah, Kerttu has a cat somewhere, so we have an animal pet friendly podcast episode today. Is it? You are living in LA, right?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm.
So, is your cat a house cat, or
yes,
it's not possible, or in LA to have.
No, Charlie loves to be inside. I actually, when I lived in West Hollywood prior, then it was a very like a walkable place and
yes,
like dog and cat friendly. So I got Charlie like a little leash thing, yes, and I took Charlie out, and then he was like, he literally planted himself in the ground. And he was like, I'm not going anywhere.
No, thank you. Okay.
So he likes to be inside. He likes to be inside.
Yeah, because I'm always wondering, you know, I live in a town with nearly 3,000 people and that's it. Big landscape area. And I'm always wondering if everyone tells me how big LA is it easy to have there a pet or not? Because for me, I'm nearly directly at the forest. I'm going every day in the forest for a walk. So I think I would miss that. In LA.
I do miss that as well, because originally I'm from Estonia and I'm actually from a very similar place like you are actually describing right now. Like I grew up in a very small, like it was a village, like our town nearby had one street light. Like
I mean, I love that.
It was a very country type of a place. So it's
quiet.
Yeah.
So when did you move to the US? And so, was it because of acting?
Yeah, so I actually have a pretty I feel like a very special story in a sense that so during college I started working with Southwestern Advantage, which is a company based in Nashville, Tennessee. Like my mm-hmm. first college, I was thinking about going for theater, but then I started hearing everybody saying like, oh, you can make money with theater. So somewhere in between math and social studies exam, I was like, I'm going to go for engineering, completely off the wall.
It's safe.
So I went there. I understood on my first year, I was like, oh my God, I cannot do these detailed architectural plannings for the rest of my life. Like my creative mind will go crazy if I would have to do it all the time. But I did my 4 years in there, and I started working with Southwestern Advantage, which is they are like an internship type of a company where they hire college students from different European cities in American college students. And then we would go and sell educational books door to door in different American cities. And usually they are very rural, like small little towns, not like, like I was in Florida, Georgia, Minnesota, Kansas, New Mexico, like Cali, like, and then I was even in Canada. So I did that for 6 years. I kind of went and sold educational books door to door like that.
And
So
no
that was.
acting at that time.
So the thing is that before college, I did a lot of theater. So I always lived in it. Like I knew first grade, I knew this is what I want to do. Like always knew that this is my thing. Like my creative soul just loved acting and being on stage. So I did mostly theater all through school. And in college, it kind of went through the sales route. I was very successful in there. I made a lot of money. And I felt like then I did more like dancing. I sang in a choir as well, like play basketball. I kind of like
Okay, very, very flexible.
dabbled in everywhere, was a little cheerleader. And then I think on my maybe fifth year of selling books, or I kind of started maybe feeling it even on my fourth year, but I became like a sales leader where you have a commitment of staying on for 2 more years, and you have a whole like an organization under you. You're recruiting other students to do the same. You're training them. You're building your team. We recruited like in Poland as well, and like in Latvia, Lithuania. Like we went to different countries. And then I understood that this is the time. If I'm going to stay in this company, then probably I will be happy in a sense that I would be very successful. I would have like financial security. I would have good people around me who are growth oriented. But it's not like where my heart belongs.
It was not for the soul. It was,
So that kind of led me to New York Film Academy. So I did that. And that's where I did like a 2 month program acting for film. And that's where I realized that this is the place where I belong. Like I have to give myself a shot. Like I have to come and basically pack up all of my life. And that's where I ended up in here. And then I started literally from ground zero, from
When was
nothing.
that? When did you move to LA?
I stayed in here 2016, so it's almost in the end of 2016, so almost 10 years ago, which is wild, crazy.
That's a long time. And so when you already w were in LA when this vertical stuff started in 2023. Did you hit the vertical directly from the beginning?
No, so I have been doing vertical from like so May. It's gonna be 2 years for me when I started. So a year and a half right now. I've been doing them like constantly, and I got my first vertical through Sarah Maliski, who is amazing, and she gave me a part because I also led a marketing department in hot yoga. I'm also like a hot yoga teacher, so
I
and
read
I
this, yeah.
I took over their marketing. So Sarah was one of my influencers. That's how I knew her already prior to this. Like for years we had known each other, and then I started seeing like she's doing these vertical things, and then I was like, okay, this is the time for me to really go. Like I've been auditioning, but also managing this corporate life. So I was like, I have like now or never. Like I have to put all of my eggs in these baskets. And that's where it all like rolled into verticals, which is wild.
A lot of vertical actors thought at the beginning that this would be a fling and not so big and not going on for so long. What were your first thoughts about this vertical stuff when you heard about it? Was you have you been a bit skeptical what this is, or were you optimistic that this would be good?
That's a good question. So I have always been grateful in order to be on set. Like, I think that's a blessing. Like, you as an actor, anytime you are on set, you should be filled with gratitude because that is an opportunity for you to grow as an artist, like mingle, get together with other like-minded people. Like, this is where you can work on your craft. Like, I absolutely do not like people who are whiny and saying like, oh my God, this is like, I'm just doing this like sometimes just to make money. Like, I don't really care about this. They're not even prepared. Like, they don't have their lines. That means you are not respecting the whole crew in my, like, we're playing
And you
all of
see, as an audience, you see that directly when you're watching the vertical. Is this person doing it because it's a job to make money and pay the rent, or is this a job which fulfills you and you want to do? You see that so on point when you're watching a vertical, how the actor or actress like this job or not. You see that
100%.
so on point.
Yes. And just like this, like if you show up arrogantly and not caring, like it's just like, why are you even here? Like, go and do something else. Like, it's just nobody forced you to do this. So it's, I feel like in order, like you have to show up as your best self and like be prepared and do your part because every single other part, like the grips are like, you know, like they're everybody's doing their part. It's a puzzle which needs to
Yeah.
work together.
Teamwork
So,
makes the dream work, I'm always saying.
yes, 100%.
So, what was your first vertical? What was your role in it?
First one was like a day player. Literally, I think it was a 2-day player, and I'm very grateful that because Sarah was casting and still is casting for Real Short, which obviously is like one of the biggest platforms. So that's where I started as like literally a day player, a classic banquet.
Oh, holy moly. Classic hidden era CEO billionaire. Okay.
Absolutely all of it. Yeah.
Okay, so the full trope. No, because I spoke to some actors, the first one they did were the werewolf one. And for example, Kaylin Peluso told me she was a dead person in a werewolf one and she was lying dead on the ground and everyone around her was talking about Beta Alpha, you are my mate. And she thought while she was lying dead on the ground, what the heck are they talking about? That's so weird. So that she decided after the first vertical, no, that's kind of too crazy for me. I will step back for that from that. And she was doing a few months, no other verticals because she found that so crazy stupid. So my question now, what were your first thoughts after shooting the first vertical?
First of all, you don't know what to expect, right? So it is like it's completely, you would think it's a typical set in a way it is, but it's just so much more fast paced. That's the main thing, is like everything is very like, let's move. If you would take maybe for a scene, you would take a half a day or something like to shoot all the different angles, maybe in a horizontal, then in here you would do 14 to 17 scenes a day. So it's like you have to move very fast. So I think like adjusting to the pace of it is something what you have to get to very, very quickly. And preparation is key. Like as an actor, like you have to know your lines and you have to also have a good memorization and good adaptability of like, I feel like one of my first like big days where we had 17 scenes and I was in 14 of them, and it was a last day. I knew we had to wrap on that location. Like everybody wanted to go home. Like this is it. And I had like big emotional like scenes, like a torture scenes, and like me pointing with a gun. Like there was a lot of like emotional stuff in there, but I felt very prepared in a sense that I had done my character work. I knew who I am. I knew my lines. And every time when I was in a costume change, like those type of days, you might see that maybe actors aren't as talkative or as social as they would maybe be when they don't have as many lines. But if I know that I have like tons and tons of dialogue, I am locked in. Like I'll
Yeah,
still be friendly,
focused. Yeah.
but I'm focused. I'm literally looking at my pages all the time. I'm in costume, I'm in makeup. I'm like, okay, this is what's coming up next. Da, 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 da. So, because I'm trying to do as little takes as possible so we can move on.
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
always, like to deliver instantly. So yeah.
Have you ever done a werewolf one or from the fantasy, crazy ones, vampire ones, whatever?
Yes, I did. One of my first ones, my big villain was Wolf Queen, in Real Short, which is still going very strong. Yeah, I think we have now over 76 million views or something, which is crazy numbers. Like these are insane numbers. And that was a very fun one. I got to transform as a wolf. They put like more like CGI in there, but I had like my wolf like big nail,
Claws.
yeah, plus a little dust in there. And I even had a stunt double. I have never had a stunt
Stunt
double.
double.
That was so fun.
Holy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes the werewolf ones, for I didn't watch first the werewolf vampire stuff because for me it was kind of really that's too crazy to watch.
Yeah.
But then I've watched all the other stuff on the app, and then there were only werewolf and vampire ones left, or the Chinese one, but I cannot watch the Chinese one in original language Chinese. It's so hard to understand when you have to read the subtitles to watch, and no, so that doesn't work for me. So there were only werewolf and vampires ones left, and then I watched my first werewolf once and was a bit so, okay, I didn't get it. What's that with this faded maid and beta and rogue and what the heck? I was kind of confused after watching my first werewolf one. But then I watched the vampire ones and there were so many great costumes. Oh, holy. And it was one with Casey Esser. What was the name? My vampire wants me every day or stuff like that.
He's amazing. He's such a good guy.
Yeah, and when I spoke with Casey, I asked him, or I told him that I love to see him more as a vampire than a werewolf one because I don't know, for me, he fits better as a vampire. And his answer was, yeah, I'm pale. That's why I can do this. And I said, yeah, that's true. Okay, you're right. That's better for you. But lately, there were not so many vampire ones.
It's
I
true.
don't know what happened.
I would love to do a vampire one. I got offered to do a vampire part, as they love to cast me as a villain a lot. So I got
Do
asked
you
as.
know why? I mean,
So I think there's many things about that. So first thing with the vampire thing is that when I got offered it, then I had already planned a Mexico City trip, and I was like, I cannot do that.
oh shit.
Not going, like sometimes yes, but it was also to celebrate another person, and I just like you
Okay.
have to also live your life rather.
Yeah, work-life balance stuff.
It has to be there, but I think with the villain stuff. So first of all, I do have an accent, like you can tell, right? So
Yeah.
it's not strong, but it's there. So I think one thing is my accent. The other thing is that I have a very expressive face,
Yeah.
and
That's
I.
but that's the but that's the I think that's the European look, isn't it?
I guess it is, yeah. But I would love, oh my gosh, I would love to do more of like the sweetheart roles as well.
I
Like,
saw you lately as a doctor. I don't know which
yes, a lot
protocol it
of
was.
doctors.
I saw you as a doctor. And I said,
Yes.
oh, okay, now she's a doctor. Okay. Why not? Which
True.
radical was that? I don't know. It was not so long ago.
Yeah, it was probably with the Playlet one. I think that was my last doctor one because
Yeah. I'm
I
so
worked
bad with the title. Sorry for that. I'm
That's
so
okay.
bad. I
Yeah.
cannot.
This was probably the one, yeah, with I worked with Oliver a lot and Roberta. Like Roberta Sparta is amazing
Oh yeah, I
producer.
spoke with her.
Love
That
her.
was Roberta was my first podcast guest.
Oh my God, I love
I
that. Oh.
started the podcast with Roberta, and she told me everything, who's on set, what's the crew members. So she was the perfect start for this podcast because for the audience, we did know we don't know much about the BTS, how many crew members, what people are needed to produce a show. And I spoke in the first episode to Roberta. And since then we stay a lot in contact, and she's coming over to Germany this year in summer, but to go to a Backstreet Boys concert. Oh, I don't know if I can say it out loud. She's going to a Backstreet Boys concert here in Germany, not
That's
for
so funny.
work.
I feel like she has, I think she has already been twice in here in Vegas. I saw her
Yeah,
going.
and the VIP Vegas show and Sylvester, she was also at the Backstreet Boys concert. I saw that in her stories. And then on the other side, she went with Alina Averianova. I spoke also with her, the script supervisor, to the Formula One in Vegas. So total different. I love crazy ladies. And I
I do
love
too.
Roberta's style. She's so creative, and the shows of her are so good. I love to watch them.
I feel like she's just a genuinely like she's a good person, like she has a good soul. You can instantly like connect with her. You could feel like she's just a kind-hearted person, but she's also like a boss girl. Like
Strict.
she, yes, she will make stuff done in the way, because I met her when she was an AD, like assistant director, and now she has grown into a producer, executive
Yeah,
producer, like
with their own company.
directing, like she's doing it all. So that jump doesn't just happen. Like
No.
she really has worked really hard to establish herself. So
Yeah.
that's incredible.
So when you shot, let's say, the first two, three verticals, did you get the impression that this could work out to do that full time? Or have you ever taught also kind of yoga and stuff like that to have two different incomes that
So
nearly one of them is safe, let's say?
I so that's the thing with being a creative is also that it's a little bit up and down. There's a bigger flow of when work comes in, and then there's more like a calmer periods. So that you do have to expect. I feel like if you're on contract, which some actors are with certain type of platforms, then it would be maybe like you would know you're on salary, right? Like you would know your monthly income. But in some point, I feel like in some point I was completely there that I was working like 5 days a week. Like it was literally like a job. But then it goes a little bit down again and then it comes up again. So it is like that. And I feel like I have a really good balance that I do have a flexible job of teaching yoga, for example, right? Like I can pick up shifts whenever I'm not working on set. I can go and teach yoga, and that helps me to take care of my body myself, like ground myself. So it's like a win-win
Yeah,
thing.
I can imagine that because sometimes when I spoke to some actors and actresses, it always so, yeah, I don't know if I will have in 2 weeks a new job. We will see. And I thought, oh heck, I don't know if that would work for me if you not even know if you have for the next 4 weeks a job. So a bit constantly in the life is not so bad, but otherwise I think it's always so great to meet new people on set, to have new type of roles. But have you the feeling lately that a lot of roles were exactly or nearly the same one because the storylines are and the tropes are always kind of similar?
They're definitely similar. Like, we all know that it's very based on the damsel in distress, right? Like, you have the model of a damsel in distress who is that sweet, innocent girl. Then
Yeah.
you have your villain who is like this, usually more of a entitled trophy wife type of a thing, with the billionaire husband who usually is then falling in love with this girl. Either he's treating them nice or he's not treating them nice, and then I will get the vengeance as a villain to that damsel in distress, but they will end up being together and I will be, go
Yeah.
to jail or something like that. So I feel like that is the plot line of most of them, but I feel like there has been now more and more, like I see even horror is coming in more, which is so exciting. Like, I would love to do horror stuff. I haven't done a horror vertical. Like, I hope we are going to that direction as well, because that would be, or more even fantasy or sci-fi. Like,
I think the pirate stuff is blowing up because one pirate vertical is already shot. They're now selling it to platform, and lately I saw stories that they are shooting actually a new pirate one. So maybe there will be a bit more pirates upcoming, which I would really love to see because my imagination is on a pirate ship, you cannot shoot a banquet scene. So there is a big chance that the pirate ones don't have any banquet scenes in it.
true, it's true. I would love to do period piece. I haven't done a period piece, and I would love those like big
Yeah, with the
long.
great costumes. Yeah.
Ah, I would absolutely love
I
those.
think Germany would be a perfect shooting location for period pieces. We have so many great castles here, and so many. In my hometown, there is a big castle, a really great castle. I shot a movie in there. I did also some acting stuff. I shot a movie in the castle for a French television show, and we did a kind of time period because it was a documentation about the Second World War, because my hometown was the capital of France in the Second World War for 9 months. And they shot a historical documentation about this time when the regime was here in the my hometown castle. And so every morning when I'm going to the makeup and I came out, it was like a throwback to 1945 with all the clothes and stuff. And the fun part, or the really great part, was they have so many original pieces of this time left in the castle because the people who lived there had to run away from the Americans when they come to rescue the city. And so they left every stuff they had in the castle, and it was all the original stuff for 1945, of their whole newspaper stuff, clothes, everything was origin from that time when they really lived there. And we had all this stuff for the sh it was so great. It was every morning you go into the castle, you go into the makeup, you come out, and you are back in 1945. That was so crazy. It was so crazy, but that was so good. Yeah. That would be nice. And I'm hoping that Germany will come up as a shooting location in this year.
Oh, that would be so nice. You know what? That is one thing. Like, I was just a Lithuanian platform. Hey, hello, everybody.
See, if you could see your eyes, so, oh, come on, no, let
Look at
me.
you
Yeah, he's super excited.
guys. I love it. But like, that is the thing with Europe, is that since I am from Estonia and all of my family is in Estonia, then it'd be amazing to work more in Europe. Lithuanian platform did reach out to me, and I
Drama
auditioned.
pops or what?
Yes, Drama Pops, exactly. And they went for another actor, which is totally fine. That things happen.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they reached out, like the head of casting reached out themselves, and they were so nice about it as well. And they so I
I
would
can
love.
tell you from the audience side, Drama
Yeah.
Pops is one of our most loved app.
Really?
Yes, I'm doing every month a monthly recap with my big review ladies, and we are also speaking about the app of the month. And since we are doing that, it's every month Drama Pops, Candy Jar, or Igloo?
love that.
Because Drama Pops, on Drama Pops, you find nearly all the shows which were produced in Turkey or in Lithuania. Not really English based produced ones. And the quality is so much better in stories, in post-production. No show which has ever dropped on Drama Pops was bad.
Wow,
So I'm
see,
saying to everyone, if you ever have the possibility to shoot for Drama Pops, do it, because
hey.
it's so fantastic what they are pushing out and what they are do. And I asked Danny Fobber when I spoke with him what he thinks, what it makes different in shooting in Turkey. Then and he said the crew is bigger there, so the crew can check more of the detail stuff, and that's what you see exactly in this show. There are no freaking details that in one scene the bow is blue, in the next one it's red, and it's exactly the same scene, you know what I mean? Or they are cheering with the glasses, and two glasses are empty, and the typical shitty mini parts never happened in a Drama Pop show. And every time the Drama Pop shows are produced so good in sound and quality. There were lately so many other shows which were ruined through the post-production.
So I have a funny story about sound. So I had the pleasure last year of going to China two times to film verticals, and my first three verticals in being in Xi'an in China was they only had a boom. We always have usually a clip-on mic. In all the other shows, what I've done, but in there it was strictly only boom, and I was like, holy smokes, like, how are we actually getting this sound? Like, I was so surprised. But thankfully, so the first show, well, the two shows, we were kind of more in a house and it wasn't as loud. But the third vertical, we were on top of this huge building, like, I don't know how high it was. 40, 50 floors. It was so windy. There was a crane working next door. Like, it was in another kind of banquet tea, like a graduation scene. And I was like, there is no way. There's no way. So they did the boom in there. And then we went into a room with all the actors. And then we did voiceover of like sort of trying to replicate. But it's not, you're not seeing the footage. You're just seeing the lines. And then they're gonna cut it together. But I was surprised that it actually did work. So I was like, okay,
Yeah,
whatever
but
they.
sometimes the voiceovers are so
They're
bad.
off.
I just I think it was yesterday, I watched a show where even the lip sync doesn't fit the voiceover. You know what I mean? It was so no. And I'm not the straight to the end watcher. If I don't like anything, I turn the vertical off and I don't watch it till the end. And we recently spoke in the monthly recap in December. There were a lot of shows which were ruined by the post-production. The cast was good, the storyline was okay, not super duper, but it was okay. But the sound and the post-production ruined a complete show, and you couldn't watch it. It was so bad. And that, for example, never happened with a Drama Pops or Candy Jar or Igloo show. Never ever.
It is interesting. There is certain type of like what I find sometimes frustrating as an actor is first of all, the footage wise, like it's very hard for us to get the footage, right? The second part is that depending on producer and platform, sometimes we get the whole notification with BTS photos and like the show is out now, like post about it. But a lot of the times don't even know.
You
All of a
got
sudden,
tagged in a review and thought, is that out? Oh, okay.
yeah. So you see it's out, like you don't have any like really good BTS like stuff. If they didn't hire a photographer, it depends. It's so wall to wall of those experiences. But now I've kind of found a way that if I want to post something, then there's in Facebook, if you search this at a title, which always the titles get changed, like every single time, but it's same. Very rarely it's the same. So you search for it, and then I see myself in different clips, and I'm like, okay, I can screen record this. Oh my God, what the whole
Yeah,
thing.
that's just it's the same with the missing credits. I
Yes.
hate it. You know, lately I saw a few new actors and I watched a vertical where I said, oh, that was really good acting. But I couldn't find any credits about the director or about the actor or stuff like that. That's so shit. And lately, I watched on Carlos TV a show yesterday. There was the whole credits in the end, the whole one. And I thought, okay, why is that so simple here for them to do in this show and in the other shows? There are never ever a credit at the end. Reelshot lately put credits at the end, but other apps, you cannot find any information about the people who
So
worked on.
right about that. Yeah, no, I think that would be a fantastic add-on for everybody involved. Like that would be amazing.
Yeah, you know, I think, or in my opinion, it's also if someone who is also in the vertical space, for example, sees you and says, oh, I liked her acting, but who is she? It's not so easy to maybe hire you because you cannot get any credits. And for the reviewer, it's really difficult because we want to give a shout out also if the directing is good or even if it's a good post-production, you know, because so you can light the people who are doing really a great job. But that's not possible because of all this missing credit ones. And as I saw yesterday in this Carlos TV show, it was at the end, like in a normal movie, you know, there was all the credits and stuff. And I was really thinking, why is that not possible for every show? It's let's say 10 seconds more to show, but it's
True. It's so true. No, that's a fantastic observation. I wholeheartedly would support that. Yes.
yeah, we need a bit more. We need also trigger warnings
Yeah,
and
there's
credits. And, you know, I started watching Vertical in summer 2023. Let's say I'm a from the beginning watcher. Let's call it that way. I was called an old, a vertical oldie. No, I'm a early watcher. So, the early ones or the first ones, which were on my first membership, was a real short one because the real short marketing is doing every time a really good work.
Yes,
They
definitely.
trap everyone with the advertising.
Sure.
And if I'm looking back to the first shows I saw, my first show, for example, was The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband with Jared Harper, and Molly Anderson was in it. And so there was okay also the classic tropes, but the whole first shows I saw never had this much violence in it and never had so many raping and slapping, and the shows worked well, you know, for example, Breaking the Ice. I don't know how many millions they hit. More than, I don't know, 200 million now. So you see, it's not needed so much in a show, but.
It is interesting where we've taken like a very extreme version of abuse and we glance over it very. I feel like now it's been more talked about, and we have a vertical like a group chat with the girls, and there's a lot of discussions about all kinds of different things, including this, or they like, have you seen this, or how is it working with this person? So it's like, it is especially amongst women, because they are the one
And
usually.
lately a lot I said that we, because in my monthly recap episode we are talking also about the crap of the month, so which vertical disappointed us or which one was really shit in storyline and stuff like that. And we spoke in the last one about how many children are now in verticals and how many children get abused, or what my crap of the month lately was, I saw the first vertical where a child hits the female lead, and not only one time, more than once, and didn't get disciplined for that. The parent was watching that. And that was for me crossing a red line so deeply. You know, if you see, you saw a lot of some verticals where the child slaps the maid, for example, because the parent said, yeah, she's just a maid. So, but then every time this child got disciplined, said, hey, you cannot do that. That's not right. But in that vertical, the child was abusing the female lead the whole vertical till the end, until she finds out that she's her mother. Then it switched. But let's say 40 out of 60 episodes, the child abuses the female lead and her dad was sitting next on the table eating his breakfast. And I said, that's not, no, that's not going on. Because in my opinion, if you as a child actor have to be abusive against an adult, even if it's a job, I don't know if that's so good. And all the, let's say my first year watching verticals, they have never been a child actor. Never, ever.
No, there's so much more kids. I did the one in China as well. Like, I had that was that premise, whole premise was like crazy. Where it's basically we're best friends, and I'm jealous of the girl, and because she's always had a better life. So I'm gonna switch her and my baby, because obviously we delivered.
Ah, okay, that classic line we saw lately a few times.
Yeah, so and then I abuse her daughter, but it's actually my daughter. So it's like that is emotionally also like it's so much, because you do have to kind of get yourself in that headspace.
Yeah.
And I feel like thankfully I'm good at like getting out of it. Like, I feel like when I come home, I take a shower, I feel like I'm washing that away.
Yeah,
And
that's good that you can
yeah,
switch it
like,
off. Yeah.
but a lot of people, like, it's hard for them to come back to it, because they are emotionally tolling. I felt it. I did my first Shakespeare 2 years ago. I played Ophelia in Hamlet, and
Oh, Hamlet.
yeah.
I played that also in a school theater.
It's a fantastic, obviously, opportunity, and I was so grateful for it. And we did maybe like four shows a week for 4 weeks, or so a whole month. And obviously Ophelia goes through the whole arc of being this sweet girl, then she falls in love, she gets her heart broken, her father dies, she's getting revengeful. And my take on it was that they say that I'm like, Ophelia is almost like a slut, so I owned it, and I like, I'm going to be, then I'll sh show you
I
who's a
will
slut,
kick
like,
your butt.
to the king. So I played a little temptress, but then she decides to do a suicide, and she leaves her brother. So it's like every night to get to that place emotionally is like, I felt it like in the end of the run, I was like, I just need a little breather. Like, this is like, to get to that place every night is like, it's
Yeah.
a, yeah.
Yeah. So what type of role do you love to play? Are you fine with playing always villain ones, or because I heard a lot that villain ones are more fun because the roles are more let's say, flexible
Yeah,
in the character.
they're more like happy. There is, so with that, I feel like I'm grateful to work always. So I always take the opportunity to do work, and if that's where I'm being put as right now is a villain, then I will run with that happily. But if I have the opportunity to play, which for example, again with China, is that I did play like one of the verticals worse. I was like a more abused housewife, where I could play more like the damsel in distress situation. So that felt really nice to break out of it, and rather because I feel like genuinely I'm like a sweet, friendly girl. So, but it doesn't mean that somehow like we all have that like darkness or that side of it in us, and I choose to express that on a film in a more healthily way, rather than lash out to anybody else in real life. But if I have the opportunity to play more of those sweeter, like or even
Best,
rom-coms,
so
like
best friends roles or stuff like that, bestie role.
not even like I feel like I am a leading woman, like in my core. That is who I am. So if I'm a villain side, or am I in that damsel in distress side? Like, I feel like for me, what I have been getting a lot of like lead auditions is they like me as because I do have a strong presence. Like I can be like that CEO type of a woman. So I could maybe be at first like a little damsel, get a little bit of like that, and then come out and be like, hey, I'm taking back my throne type of a thing. So I see why they see me as that, because in my core, I guess I am a little bit of
Yeah, a little bit villain isn't so bad. You know,
no.
I've always played a lot of, let's say, villain roles because of my black hairs and my a
Each
bit
yeah.
so it even started at kindergarten. I had to play the bad witch in Sleeping Beauty, so with 3 years. But if you see photos of that, I was very proud of it because
No, as you should.
in my thought it was always, if everyone sees you as a bad one, no one expects anything good from you, so you
Interesting.
cannot disappoint anyone in doing bad stuff. My dad is always saying, to even today, Michaela, everything in your life is black. Your hair, your dog, your soul. And I can live with that. Yeah, you know, I have a sister and she's blonde. She's totally the opposite of mine. So we like the good one and the bad one, I think. But it's fine.
I wouldn't there's definitely not a bad side. It's maybe more like, right? It's not like you're the bad one. It's more maybe you have
I can live with that. No, you know,
interesting.
I'm not so typical girly one. I started business informatics. I'm a lecturer at the university. I go hunting. Everything. My sister was always the Princess Glitter pink girly. I never have been one of that nearly
But that's
1%.
so okay, and that's so welcomed. I feel like it doesn't have to be the stereotypical princess. Like that doesn't mean like you're less of a, or that doesn't make you the bad one. You know, like we have this societal
Yeah,
type of.
it's the expectations mostly of you when they see, okay, she has black hair, she is maybe a bit a stronger character. It means always, yeah, okay, she knows exactly what she wants and she's so strict, so leave her. But in my opinion, I worked in informatics projects all over the world. For example, when I worked in Italy, the Italian society is always full of strong leadership, leading men's. And when I got there, all the leading men were "Oh, holy, there's a woman." And they were first, "You started business informatics?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. And I'm now your project leader, and I have to tell you how you do it." That was against their, "No, we won't let a woman tell us how to work." "Yeah, you have to." And then, for example, when you went to China, there it was so uncommon that the woman is working in a leader position. That was so total different. And then we did a project in Switzerland. There it was totally normal that women lead groups and stuff like that. So in every country we were also in Romania. The Romanian were like, "Okay, normally in our culture there are more housewives, but we accept it. We don't have a problem with that." But with the Italian guys, it was really long and hard discussion till they accepted that the woman is. Yeah. But
I think I felt that a little bit in China as well. I saw that there is a little bit of that old school thinking, unfortunately,
yeah.
where maybe women's opinions
And
aren't
I
as.
think that's a problem in the most of the scripts,
I
that you
agree.
have every time this weak female roles where it's always shown that the woman always can only survive because there is a male hero who
Yes.
take them in with the money.
Yes. It's true.
I don't like.
I think most women do want to see more of I mean I see that more and more, like, I guess coming up in TV, like where we do have like heroic women
Yeah.
on. So it's nice to see that it is evolving, but I guess like the verticals are catching up on that a little bit. And the thing is that in the end of the day, we have to understand that this is a business. Whatever sells and whatever the audience watches, that's what they want to produce more and more and more.
Yeah.
Like it's all about money and numbers. Unfortunately, that's just what it is.
Yeah, it
So
is.
if we keep on watching those storylines and we're not maybe pushing the female driven stories, then it's also like we are a little bit playing the part ourselves in that
Yeah, I
system.
think, I think the problem is that the audience is still growing, and every time there are new audience in the space. So audience like my person who watched now for more than 2.5 years, the stories are repeating. There's not many stories are really new for us.
Yes, I agree.
Especially, or you watch Candy Jar, because Candy Jar's story is always based on books. The stories are always great on Candy Jar, and it's the only platform with serial ones, with more than one part. So we get more picky with the platforms when you are watching that long. But and we are at that point actually where we turn off verticals because of different reasons. But I think the problem is that this new audience type is so open for this fairy tale story. Yeah, there's a weak woman and there's a hero who saved her. And I think that's a problem, that these stories work also well because the new audience is still watching it.
It's true. It's
And I
true.
think that's a problem. But with shows written in the US or in the Western type, not origin from China, translated, these type of storylines, you don't see weak women.
It's true.
Look, for example, Love and Blood. There is no weak women in it. Or
That's a
Campus Rivals. So I hope that more of the actors are starting to write their own stuff and produce their own stuff.
Yes, I have a lot of like great writer friends and great director friends, and a lot of them, they do actually want to do their own stuff. And I've been thinking about it as well, honestly, because like in order to do exactly what you want, you do have to kind of put yourself like more into the producing role of it as well.
Eric
So
Guillemette told me lately when I recorded with him, he writes his own dream roles, what he wanna play, he writes his own now. And I said, yeah, that's maybe super clever to do it, because then you're not depending on any scripts from somewhere else. If you are fit and can write scripts, so do it.
yes,
Or for
100%.
example, Alexandria Watts told me she wrote a vertical which was produced also. So she was totally fine with it because she was the lead in it. So she got her own vertical realized. And I think that's so great because it comes along with new storylines because all the actors know which stories were fully overused.
It's
And I'm
true.
sure that the actors also want to have kind of new storylines. So it would be a win-win situation. And then it's all about the money. I would love, I spoke with Kirby Elwood, and we decided that if I will win the lottery, we will do in Europe a criminal case serial one, six criminal verticals with kind of two leads like Sherlock Holmes and Miss Marple. And
Oh.
in every European country we will shoot, they have to solve a new criminal case. So that the audience can be every time, oh, what will happen this time? Oh, will they solve
I
it? Yeah. And then we will use Dion as a partner dog, the sniffing dog, you know, the criminal dog buddy.
That's perfect. That's perfect for him. I love it.
Danny Farber will be the director. He already said he would be in he would be the main villain in one of them, and otherwise he would be okay by shooting it.
That is so funny. I love it.
Yeah, think about, you know, I don't need every time the billionaire shit.
No,
I would
absolutely.
love to see more blue collar workers or normal people.
Yes, more relatable, even characters. I agree.
I think that would be for the audience so great if they can be more into the story because it's more realistic or down to earth stories. I said also maybe some stories with more, let's say, online dating stuff will work really good
Yes,
because it's so
I don't
normal to
think
use that.
that is something what the I know another platform is gonna shoot. Their script is very original, very good. It's based on the online dating one, so
Yeah,
it's
because look on, for example, there was one, the Millionaire Match, it was also with the CEO, blah blah, but the Millionaire Match, the Billionaire Matchmaker, which was with Jeff Violet and Kirby in it. So
Love that. Jeff is such a good
I
human.
spoke with Jeff. I spoke with him about this vertical, and I said that was so down to earth story with this online dating stuff. For me, it would have been also fine if he wouldn't have been the billionaire because it was not needed for the storyline. And he said, yeah, he really loved this story and the show went very well. So
Good.
I think that would be a better future if he would use more the, let's say, normal stuff to tell verticals. You know, there can be a rom-com in it or maybe a
Absolutely.
bit of slapping or stuff like that. But lately, that was the whole vertical. You know, the whole vertical banquet scene, 50 episodes.
No, that's a lot of the cases what it is, yes.
With only one question, is it him or her or is he a fraud? And that's the whole vertical? Really?
Yes. I know. I want more depth. What I would love is like to have more depth in general, like establishing those characters of like having the real backstories of like having actual, yeah, depth of it. So that is something what I'm yearning as an actor to have
Do
more.
you see a chance in this vertical space that there is going to be more depth?
I think it's there's so many possibilities right now. It's such a growing industry right now that if actors do like first, like the people who are in it very much of like when they see what doesn't work, that they could eliminate it themselves by again maybe writing their own verticals, right? Like having them. But then also allowing in like new voices. I feel like sometimes it's very hard now for new people to come in. Like every time when I have an opportunity to recommend somebody, because I've helped with some casting and some producing as well. And anytime when they ask, I'm like, I have a list of people who I would go instantly, like who I recommend. And even like the new people, so they can get their foot in the door, because I know how hard it is to just get your first break. Like it takes so much. Like I literally contacted, like when I first started, then I contacted the leads, like their shows, every producer, director. I DM them, hi, I just did my first one, like would love to work with you, here's my website. Like I went relentlessly and just submitted myself all the time, like because nobody else is gonna work harder for you than you. So if we can give like new voices, or even just obviously we know like verticals unfortunately are very, very whitewashed in general. So they're like just to bring in more everybody, like, and it doesn't matter like if they do, I mean, I guess I'm biased in that case, but like if they have an accent, that they don't have to be a villain all the time, or if it's certain type of things which are very like old school way of how movies were done in the past, and now that's how verticals are done. So that does rub me in the wrong like wrong way. Like it doesn't make sense for me that it needs to be that. So yeah.
What is your wish for 2026 for this vertical space? What you would love to see in changes or maybe in new stuff?
I would love to see more just collaboration in general. I've seen such a difference between different directors. When directors are very invested into the show and really working with the actors, that's like it's beautiful to see. So more collaboration. I would love to see more different storylines of females obviously being strong and coming together of like, I feel like in the real world, a healthy relationship is where both parties have done their part of like some healing or some growing
Oh,
and then.
yes. This
So
every time someone is dominant and the other person in the partnership is always devoted, I would love to see more team in a
yes.
partnership
And there's a
where
lot of
the man backs the women up and every time. And I saw just a few verticals where it was really nice to see that the man stands by side of the woman and supported her in everything she did. Normally, there is always a husband who said, "No, you cannot do that. L leave that. You have to do that. Do that." Always the dominant part, and the women always have to say, "Yeah, I will. Okay. Yeah, if you say so, it's fine." I would love to see more like a realistic partnership, because I think nowadays, it's like more than a team building in a partnership and not with this classic role style.
I do love that, like in my own core, like I do love the traditional like model in a sense that I do want to be a mother, you know, like I probably want to be home with the kids, and there's nothing wrong if you want it, or your husband or your partner wants to do that, right? But there needs to be, I feel like There's a healthy masculine energy, right? Like if I'm like this boss girl and doing all these things during the day, then I would love to have a partner who maybe where I don't have to make decisions every time, like where are we going? But he's charge of like, hey babe, let's go and have a dinner in here. I made a reservation. Like that's a healthy, beautiful man where I can soften into my femininity and be like, oh, I'm taken care of in that regard. Like that feels beautiful and really secure.
Because as we spoke, a lot of verticals shown always the devout and weak
Yes.
person, and I don't like that. I
Same.
really don't. But that's the thing, I think it's because of the Chinese scripts that there it's the culture to do that in that way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think as long as they are keep translating the Chinese scripts because they were successful in China, I think there will be always this type of story. I'm lecturing at the university, intercultural difference. And there is it ex exactly the same. If you are doing it's about how the intercultural difference in the workspace is, if you are leading international projects and stuff like that you cannot expect that in every country the colleagues have the same working energy, because in some countries it's simple not usual that you bring yourself into this project with all the energy. In some countries, you have to wait until you get asked to bring your energy in. And so I think it's the same with the scripts. You see if it's origin Western script, if it's an Eastern script, where it was origin written because of the cultural difference. So that's also the reason why I'm not sure. I would love to see more comedies. And I spoke, for
Oh
example,
my
to a
God,
pros.
yes.
I spoke, for example, to a post-production team for Wiglu, which is based in Vietnam. And one of them told me that she is observing always the Chinese market in vertical so that she can see which will be maybe the next storylines. And she told me when we recorded that lately there have been produced so many comedy stuff in China. But I'm not sure that the Chinese humor will fit the Western humor. Because you see also the difference, let's say, if you are taking, for example, German humor to try
Oh,
it
yeah. Every
in the
culture has a
US,
different one. Yeah.
I think that's also already a bit difficult. And I
Ours is a little
spoke,
bit
I
higher.
did a recording with Oliver Wong. And I asked him, would you or do you think that this would fit that the Chinese? And he told me, nope, absolutely nope.
Oliver is funny though. Oliver, we've had a lot of good times on set.
Yeah,
Like,
but he said he knows exactly the Chinese humor and he is so damn sure that the comedy scripts won't hit the Western market. So for more comedy verticals, we need scripts directly written in the Western side.
interesting. Yeah, comedy and horror, I feel like those are the two things what I would love to
Horror
see.
scripts you will never get, I think, from the Chinese one, because in China they don't even produce werewolf stuff.
True. I feel like that is more in here in LA. I agree. Yeah.
So we will see. I'm really hoping, I'm sure that in 2026 the market will explode. I'm also sure that it will explode in Europe because here the market is still very quiet, actually. Although they are shooting verticals here in Europe, the European audience market is so quiet, actually. And I'm hoping that it will swap a bit more over to Europe.
Oh my gosh, I love, like, that's literally, I feel like maybe that is my own personal 2026. It's like I would love to work just more in Europe in general.
I saw just the first casting calls for Germany, vertical shootings.
Oh my God. I have
But
the absolute.
they only want to have influencers with a big range of followers.
That's.
And
Oh.
I sent the production or the casting company an email and asked them, "Are you kidding me? Really?" And the most problem is here in Germany, if you are Google informations about vertical, you find, I think, only one or two German articles about that, and that's it. I think they totally underestimate the market, actually, or the industry, that it's
Not as
already so big.
oh.
So they are trying to get it more big with this influencer shit stuff. But I'm still hoping Candy Jar is based in Berlin. So we have a good platform already.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that they will start shooting in Germany, but maybe I'm working on it, maybe with a vertical experienced director from outside, and maybe with vertical experienced leads. If a side role is played by a follower, okay, fine, I can live with that. But lead role with uneducated, they will destroy the market, even if because before it has the possibility to grow, in my opinion. So I'm sure that I'm in contact with the producer and director from Berlin, which runs a company already, also in Istanbul, with a little big connection and network in Istanbul. And I think, and I know from another lady fan, that she spoke lately with the big media companies here in Germany about the vertical stuff. So we are trying to get the verticals more to Germany. But for you, that would be great. I mean, because you are European, you don't have
I
any visa
know.
problem.
I'm like European Union. I can go anywhere. That's a beauty. And I have my green card, so it's like I can do both
You'd be
sides.
super flexible.
I know that's the dream. That's where I'm building towards. And just FYI, I do have to go in 5 minutes
Yeah,
because another I have to make money and go to my other job. But that is. Genuinely, what I would love to do is like again, it's the work-life balance, and like my dream is acting, and it always have been, and it always will be. But I do want to spend time with my family. Like ideally, I would be 40% of the year. I would be in Estonia. I would be with my mom and my brother and my nephews. Like.
okay, so we have to get you to Europe. Before you go, I will ask you the five question quickie shortly. I'm asking everyone at the end. First
Yeah.
one, what's your favorite dish? What do you love to eat? I mean, is there a classic Estonian
So
meal?
I am mostly vegan, sometimes vegetarian, and very once in a blue moon, a pescatarian, like maybe for sushi or something.
Okay, yeah.
Estonian dish, we have potato salad, which you have in Germany as well. I love that's a homey
Okay,
thing.
question. The origin one with vinegar and oil, or with yogurt in it? Because in North Germany, they will do it with.
Sour cream and mayo. I know that's the Estonian way.
Here in South Germany, we only do it with vinegar and oil, you
I mean,
know?
I
That's why I'm
probably
asking. I love
potato.
both, but
I love potatoes in
the traditional one is with the vinegar and oil, so. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. Do you have a comfort movie you rewatched 1,000 times because it makes you always happy?
I don't know if I have a comfort because I love psychological thrillers. Like I love Black Mirror is one of my favorite like shows how they do it. So I love that, but I also good love a good rom-com and a good romance. Like obviously I'm a
Dirty
sucker.
Dancing one.
I'm more like a notebooky type of a girl. I love Rachel
Okay.
McAdams or I love more like Cameron Diaz type of a role. So those rom-commy type of
Cameron
vibe.
Diaz is such a great actress. Oh, holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But
And
I
what
love
type?
Inception as well, like Inception type of Shutter Island, like those. Oh, yeah. Too many, too many.
Totally different. Okay. What type of music do you love?
I can go wall to wall. So I have always loved Linkin Park, is always will be one of my favorites. But I also love jazz. I love lo-fi beats at home. So I like a more chiller, jazzy vibe at home.
Is Linkin
But
Park more to get in the villain mood?
then it would be maybe Limp Bizkit to get like.
Yeah, makes sense. No, because I was told some of the actors are having playlists for
100%.
different characters to get
Yes.
into. That's why I'm asking if that's more the
Same,
villain
same. Yes.
character style. Huh. Okay, two last question. One of it, if I would start watching verticals right now and I would come to you and would say, okay, tell me one of your verticals I've sh definitely should have watched. What would you tell me to watch?
Oof, I feel like maybe the last one. Let me give you the exact one. How vertical? I have all of my vertical show list. What I started, thankfully, from the
That's
start.
not bad. Do you also have the platform where it was published?
Most all of them, yes.
Even better.
So, she took my daughter. I watched in silence. That's in Carlos, I think, and then in mini shorts. But in
What she
Carlos,
took my daughter watch it. I'm not sure
watched
if I
in
haven't
silence.
seen that.
So watch that one. I definitely. But then we talked about the wolf one as well, and the wolf one is in real short, and that's the Wolf Queen one. So
Yeah.
maybe. I feel, but I also loved what we did for Drama Wave. I love that one, which was let me pull it up. My
Okay,
mom.
I see she took my daughter. I haven't seen yet. I have to watch that this evening because I have actually a Kalos membership.
Oh,
I will watch
good.
that.
Yes, love that. Yeah, I mean, I have too many, but I guess, yeah.
That's a classic one. So, last question. We spoke a little bit about it. What genre you want to see more on you in the vertical space?
I think comedy and horror, those are the two, what I would love to act in, what I would love to watch, and what we need more of.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, I'm not the horror type. Oh, okay. I'm not the horror type if it's with a lot of blood and zombie style. I love more the psychological stuff that, yeah, that would be good. That I would love to see. Yeah, true. True. We will see what will happen in 2026. I thank you so much for your time and talking to me.
Thank you
A
for.
little bit of European flair here in my podcast and pet also. So I wish you a wonderful, what is it, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. Sorry, I'm a bit yeah, you know, my Thursday is already nearly over, so.
Course, there's an evening already.
Yeah.
Yes.
So thank you very much. Have a really great day and a lot of great work upcoming, hopefully with great roles, maybe challenging and maybe not so a villain one. We will see. Thank you and sending you a lot of greetings to LA. Bye,
Thank you.
Kadu.
Mwah. Until next time.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.